to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show with host Sandy Sedgebeer, where our mission is to inspire conscious parents, families, and educators by bringing you the latest research and thinking on supporting today's highly evolved children to fulfill their potential as healthy, confident, resourceful, and emotionally intelligent individuals.
The world our children are living in is a good deal unhealthier than the world their parents and grandparents grew up in. For instance, did you know that according to new research, returning to school after a summer or winter break causes a 30% spike in headaches among children aged 5 to 18 years? Or that the prevalence of asthma and allergies among children has become an increasing problem in the last few decades. But with more and more children developing allergies to drugs, what resources do parents have for treating the ever-increasing list of ailments that seem to be undermining our children's health and immune systems these days? According to tonight's guest, there is a simple, safe, natural, and most importantly, drug-free solution for many seasonal and everyday complaints, as well as a range of long-term chronic conditions that modern medicine still can't claim to have a cure for. Despite having a rich history of success, however, homeopathy, which has been beloved by members of the British royal family for over 200 years, often gets dismissed as being, at best, a mere placebo, or at worst, gross quackery. With us today to shed some light on the subject of homeopathy and reveal how homeopathic remedies can keep you and your children healthy is practicing homeopath and author Mary English. Born in London and educated in Switzerland at the American International School of Zurich, Mary English is an author, astrologer, and practicing homeopath, the editor of the Travelling Homeopaths Collective's newsletter, and past editor of The Student Homeopath. Mary's latest book, A Little at a Time, Homeopathy for You and Those You Love, is designed to help people understand this gentle, natural, no side effects therapy and be able to use homeopathy at home safely for everyday complaints. Mary English, welcome to the Inspired Parenting Show.
Hello, Sandy. Thanks very much for having me.
Mary, you were the resident astrologer for the bi-monthly Green Parenting magazine, The Green Parent, for 5 years, and you spent 2.5 years doing the stars for listeners on BBC Radio Somerset. You're also currently on the Hannah Murray Show on Talk Radio Europe in Spain. Before we talk about homeopathy, tell me a little bit how homeopathy and astrology might work together.
They're pretty complementary to each other in that they are looking at the individual. The thing I like about personal astrology is that we make an individual chart for each client, and that's very similar to homeopathy, is that we're looking at the individualness of the person. By all means, you can divide the whole of the world into 12 signs of the zodiac, and equally you can just, you know, prescribe maybe a few of the main 10 remedies that are more famous. But what I like particularly about the two things is the individualness of it, being able to treat the actual centre of the person rather than just the peripheries.
So is this why they talk about homeopathy as a holistic approach?
Definitely, yes, because homeopathy looks at the whole person rather than just bits and bobs of them. You know, it's not just your foot or your leg, it's the person that's underneath. That's much more important.
So tell us a little bit about the background to it. I mean, what is homeopathy, how and why it works, and most importantly, why it deserves to be a part of every family's medicine cabinet?
It's a natural medicine. It's it was developed by a chappie called Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in the 1700s. And he was a regular doctor trained in normal medicine. And what he didn't like when he qualified was that the forms of treatment at that era of time was, I suppose there was heroic would be the way of describing it. There was far too much giving poisonous substances to people. So because he didn't like the bloodletting that was very fashionable then, and he thought it made people got their energy levels went thump, that he decided to translate texts instead as a means to make a living. But in translating a particular text by a guy called Cullen about a particular remedy that was good for malaria, the chappie who'd written the book said, oh, this particular remedy is good for malaria because it's bitter. And Hahnemann thought, well, that's a bit strange. There's a whole load of other remedies that are bitter, but they don't cure malaria. Why would that be? So he actually took some himself and he got his wife to observe what would happen. And in taking that particular remedy, he developed the symptoms of malaria. So that was when he discovered the first principle of homeopathy about like treating like. So the remedy that he took, the particular substance, produced in him this awful fever and feeling shaky and stuff. And he realised that that was the reason that it helped malaria, was because the symptoms it produced in him, and he was healthy and well, were similar to the actual disease. That's the main major principle of homeopathy, like treats like. So fast forward a couple of hundred years, here we are in the modern world. If we've got a person suffering from a particular condition, and it could be croup, that's how I discovered homeopathy, my son had croup, you give the person a remedy in a teeny weeny small tiny wincy amount that will then bring about a recovery of their symptoms, because you're treating the like with like. So you give them a small amount of what, a bit sort of like vaccinations, but not the same. Same sort of principle, is that you give somebody a teeny bit of what might produce their symptoms, so their own body, which is a wise little thing, will bring about a cure.
So how did Hahnemann go on to discover all of the many, many remedies that are available?
He carried on trying them out on friends and volunteers and his family and stuff. So the first one he did himself, just as a pure experiment. But after time, he started using his friends and followers and the rest of his family, rather extended family. I think he had quite a few children. Giving them small doses of the remedies and then recording the symptoms that happened to them. And then after time, it developed into a thing called provings. And now people talk about clinical trials, but it was actually Hahnemann that developed them. Because it was him giving his remedies to healthy human volunteers and seeing what symptoms they would produce, got reversed in conventional medicine to that, you know, you find out there's some new drug that gets developed and then you give it to people to help a particular condition. It's the opposite in homeopathy. You give the remedy to a bunch of people and find out the symptoms they produce, that you know that that's the energy, that's the story of that particular medicine.
But it's also, you talk about having different remedies for the same condition according to the individual, that you might have three people with colds, but you'd give each one a different remedy.
Yeah, because there's different ways of suffering from a cold. One person's going to want to be wrapped up and lots of blankets and sit in front of the fire and be really warm. And somebody else will be walking up and down and sort of feeling all sort of, shivery and stuff. And somebody else will just be like flat laid out on bed. That's the bryonia state, when the person just lies down, don't touch me, don't come anywhere near me. So, you know, you can have three different conditions, but there's the individualness within the condition, because not everybody who's got the cold is going to feel the same about it.
Now, you talked about 10 different conditions in your book, 10 remedies, and these are the most common ones. As we go through the show, I would like you to talk, bring them in if they come up naturally, and if they don't, we'll make sure that they do come up, because obviously if these are the most 10 common ones, then they're the ones that, everybody really needs to know about.
Yes, remedies and conditions. I've matched the two things up. There's 10 conditions that you can treat at home, and I've used the most popular 10 homeopathic remedies that you're more likely to be able to find online or in your local health food shop or something.
But there are remedies that you can't get in, our local Whole Foods or in England, Holland and Barrett. You know, why are there some that are, available publicly in stores and others that aren't?
The ones that are available in stores are covered by various different local and national regulations. So that The other ones can be purchased by homeopaths from homeopathic pharmacies, but the ones that are available that are mass produced, that are available in the high street, they're the ones that are, I mean, they're all produced by the same companies, but the ones that are available more widely are the ones that have been used the longest and have had the most amount of trials and use, so that we know that those are, you know, are applicable for everyday conditions.
Now, by everyday conditions, we're talking about headaches, tiredness, backache, coughs, colds, skin rashes, sleeplessness, things like that. But we're also talking about, and I think this might interest many of the parents listening, we can actually treat behavioural and emotional issues too.
Yes, we can, because every behaviour problem or every issue that anybody might have, there's going to be underlying it some sort of emotional feeling that goes with it. So that's why homeopathy is pretty brilliant for helping people that have got, you know, the child that won't do this, or the one that won't do that, or the person that's having problems with something else. And I think homeopathy is fantastic for helping with emotional issues. And I do actually, in my practice, I've specialised in, I don't know if you've heard about indigo children, but yes. I've specialised in the treatment of those. So children that have got certain different behavioural or emotional issues. I don't want to use the word disorders, it's just an issue. Homeopathy is brilliant for helping those.
Well, you know, I've actually used homeopathy with pets,
which
rather throws the placebo effect idea out of the window, because they have no idea what they're getting. And it's been very successful, and I've used it for pets who've got emotional issues, or, you know, they're particularly scary. Pets that are scared easily, timid pets, etc. They get spooked easily, and the results have been amazing.
It's very good for pets.
Well, we're going to go to a break now, Mary. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is British author and practicing homeopath, Mary English. After the break, Mary will tell us about constitutionals and how anyone can safely use homeopathy to treat minor everyday ailments. We'll be back in a few moments, so don't go away.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shefali, the author of The Conscious Parent. Every parent I know wants to become more conscious and present in their relationship with their children. If you are a parent who wants to transform their relationship with their children, then you are going to want to come to this wonderful, transformational, intensive weekend I have put together in Long Beach, California on December 4th through the 6th. Hop onto my website at drshefali.com and find all the information to register there. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
Welcome back to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author, homeopath and astrologer Mary English about how homeopathy can be a parent's best help, especially during the winter season. Mary, tell us about constitutionals. What are they?
A constitutional remedy is one that helps the whole of the person rather than just the bit of them. That's the thing that people, and in fact I found most difficult when I learned about homeopathy. So you can treat a condition like a cough or a cold or a sore throat. There'll be various different remedies that help with that. But a constitutional prescription takes into account not just the condition that the person's suffering from, but assists their actual personality. So making a comparison here, just like an astrology, we've got the 12 signs of the zodiac, and maybe somebody's a Taurus and they're steady and dependable and whatever. In homeopathy, we can do something similar. We can prescribe a remedy that helps the whole of the personality of the person, as well as the condition that they're suffering from. And that's a far better way of prescribing, because it's supporting the person in their uniqueness and their wholeness, rather than whatever it is that got wrong with them.
So would there be, say, one constitutional for me, or would there be several constitutionals?
$6 million question. At the moment, at this particular moment in time, there'll be one constitutional for you. However, people can change their constitutionals throughout their life. So maybe when you were little, you really liked crisps and you liked jumping and taking lots of exercise and diving out of aeroplanes and stuff. And then as you get older, maybe you sort of slow down a bit and you prefer, I don't know, listening to music and playing the guitar and stuff. So there might be some sort of change within your personality as you get older and you've had children and you slow down a bit. So therefore your remedy might change. And there's a lot of discussion in the homeopathy world about whether or not the core person of who you are inside ever changes. And I think it doesn't change that much. Your constitution can change maybe because you've had a divorce, or you've changed a job, or you've moved house and you're under lots of stress. And then when you get back to who you are again, your constitutional, you know, your inner self comes out more.
Well, that kind of makes sense to me. You know, we evolve our personalities. Every experience we have changes us. So, you know, it makes sense that our needs would evolve as well. But I always was under the impression that you tend to have one constitutional. You might have other remedies that you need at different times of your life, but the constitutional was a bit like a tonic.
It can, I say, some people can stay the same constitutional for the whole of their lives, but I have treated people and they have altered, because what seemed to be their constitutional remedy at the start of prescription, after so many months, their inner self is illuminated and then comes to a fore. So whether or not their constitutional has changed, or the homeopath has suddenly sort of clicked and found out who the inner person is, you know, that's a debatable point. And yes, I quite agree, the deeper constitutional section of a person, you know, their inner self, that can't alter. But it does take quite a time to find it, you know, because you don't always just on first meeting somebody know exactly everything about them.
How long does does it take to find out what somebody's constitutional is?
Well, a first consultation with a homeopath is normally about 90 minutes, an hour and a half. Sometimes, homeopaths can stay with their clients for a couple of hours to start with. Sometimes people come straight through. I mean, I give clients a questionnaire before they come and see me if they want to fill it out. Sometimes they don't, and I'll just, you know, ask them questions in the consultation. But there are certain things that you can ask to be able to find out more about the person. And a lot of homeopathic questioning is, what sort of weather do you like? When's your best time of day? What foods do you like? What makes you happy? What makes you sad? It's quite detailed questioning.
That quite different from how, you know, the kind of questions that you get from your average GP.
Yes, exactly, because all they're going to ask you when you go to the doctor is about the condition itself. They're not going to even ask anything about, they probably don't even ask, they might not even ask if you've had it before. And they're not going to ask you about you either. And unfortunately, especially in the UK, in a GP practice, you're lucky if you're in there for more than 5 minutes. 7, 10 minutes, wow, you're going to be celebrating that you're in the office for that amount of time. So nobody can get to the bottom of anything in such a short space of time, which consequently results in the UK people revisiting their doctor more than once. You know, if that time was allowed for the patient, they had an hour's consultation, it would slice out loads and loads of money off the NHS, I'm sure, for the fact that people have got to keep going back. I do think it's important in homeopathy to get to the constitution. It's a two-way process. I could sit there and ask gazillions of questions and you could rabbit the answers to me. It's much better to have a free-flowing conversation of what is it that makes this person the way they are? What is their deeper self? What makes them happy? Who are they? And when you get the conversation is really flowing, then, aha, you know, the light bulb moment goes on with a homeopath and they can get to understand the inner person better.
Sounds a bit like, you know, you're a detective.
Yeah, it feels like that sometimes. You know, because after a consultation, you know, homeopaths are dreadful. After a consultation, you've got to do so much work. You've got to get all your books out. You've got to do the thing called repertorising. You've got to look in your Materia Medica. You know, when you come to the consultation, you're just sitting there with bits of paper. But I don't think a lot of people realise how detailed homeopathic prescribing is. You know, you don't just pick a number out of the sky. You've actually got to go, you know, and research that person and their personality and where they're coming from.
You know, I have to give a plug for homeopathy because I've got a couple of stories that, you know, in my own experience. And as I said, I've used it for many, many years with animals, with my children. I've used it for stage fright. I've used it for, you know, ailments, all kinds of things. I started suffering from very, very severe and frequent migraines out of the blue back in 2002, and it went on for several years, and it was just debilitating, and it got worse and worse, and I tried everything. I tried acupuncture, you name it, I tried it. None of it worked. Then I went to see a homeopath, and she, after 2 hours of, you know, asking questions, she gave me a remedy that I wasn't familiar with, and within 2 weeks, I took the remedy twice, once a week, 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I never had another migraine. And my daughter got very, very sick when she was expecting my granddaughter, and nobody could find out what was wrong with her. She had severe diarrhea, so bad that she was hospitalized. She lost so much weight that she was in hospital for about 3-4 weeks. They couldn't really help her a great deal. The minute they let her out of hospital, I made her see a homeopath who was able to change everything overnight.
Wow.
So, wow. You know, I'm an advocate for homeopathy. So tell us, what is it that our listeners need to know first that they must not do with homeopathy?
Don't keep repeating the remedy. People think when they take a homeopathic remedy that it's like regular medicine, that they'll have to continue taking it ad infinitum. But in homeopathy, once your symptoms get better, you stop taking the remedy. That I've written that in the book in capital letters more than once. When you start to improve, stop. And even, you know, the frequency of taking it, some, you know, it might say on the bottle, I think they sometimes say on there, you know, take 2 tablets every 2 hours or 3 times a day or whatever. But if your symptoms are starting to improve, it's energetic medicine. You're looking at the energy of the person, the energy of either the person or the condition that they're suffering from. And if it's starting to alleviate, you don't need to keep repeating. You need to slow down and stop.
Tell us a little bit about the some of the remedies that would be, you know, good old standbys to have in the medicine cabinet.
Arnica. If you haven't heard of arnica, you haven't heard of anything. Arnica is the fabulous one. Kid falls over, bangs their head, arnica. You trip up, you bang your knee, arnica. You graze yourself, you know, arnica. Keep in mind, arnica is anything for any sort of shock or just those home accidents that people have 24/7. And you can buy them as tablets or you can also buy them as creams. Most people hear about arnica cream, but actually it's also pretty good to use them as the tablets because it's working from the inside out. That's another way of doing it. Arnica is definitely top of the list. And then second, I think in my cabinet, I'd have aconite. It's the one for shock. So those two things sort of come together. So somebody's had the accident and you've given the arnica to help with the bruising, but they're now in a state of shock. You might use aconite. And that was my introduction to homeopathy, because my son was suffering from croup and I bought a bottle of aconite in Boots. And when he next suffered from it, but about 3 o'clock in the morning, I thought, oh, I'll try that stuff I bought in Boots. And I got the tablet out of the bottle and crushed it between two spoons and stuck it on his tongue. And the wheezy breathing was, it just sort of all calmed down and went. And that was when I was converted to homeopathy. When you see a little kiddie suffering from something and you just give him this one little tablet, how can I do anything? And he got better. That was my conversion.
And that, just, you know, for our American and foreign listeners, Boots is Britain's biggest chain of pharmacies. It's not that Mary was wearing Boots at the time. So what's the third remedy?
It depends what your household group is like. I mean, we have a lot of Nux vomica in our house. That's for sickness and overeating. So that's the one sort of generally to post-Christmas, is that when you've eaten too much, Nux vomica is good for that. It's also good for cracking headaches. I think I'd probably keep that in my cabinet. Nux vomica is a nice one. That's cracking headaches. And as the word says, Nux vomica, use that one for vomiting.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned after Christmas. Nux vomica was the standby that I gave my daughter one Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, where she was a teenager and she'd partied too much, woke up with the most awful hangover, was hanging over the bed, throwing up, and it spoilt her entire Christmas day. The only thing that helped was Nux Vom.
Yes, fabulous.
Yeah, it is a very good remedy. And what about the next one, Mary?
I'd probably keep belladonna as well. That's good for, I'm just helping a lady at the moment. Her little baby's having lots of high fevers. Belladonna's a pretty good one for when the kiddie's getting really, really hot. Now, obviously, keeping in mind, don't use home prescribing if your child is really ill, right? Is it 911 they phone in America?
Yes.
In the UK,
yes.
It's 999. You know, ring for an ambulance if your child is very unwell. But if it's something that you feel that you're capable of treating and their temperature isn't too high, belladonna is the one to use. It's very, very good at bringing a high temperature down.
You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm with British author and practicing homeopath Mary English. We'll be back in a few moments, so do stay tuned.
You're listening to OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shefali, the author of The Conscious Parent. Every parent I know wants to become more conscious and present in their relationship with their children. If you are a parent who wants to transform their relationship with their children, then you are going to want to come to this wonderful, transformational, intensive weekend I have put together in Long Beach, California on December 4th through the 6th. Hop onto my website at drshefali.com and find all the information to register there. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our 9th season here on Old Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
For homeopathy in a family life. Mary, we talked earlier about some of the conditions that you cover in your book. Childbirth and early parenting features in your book. Do you have a particular attraction towards, you know, working with children and young parents?
Definitely. I mean, I'm a mother myself. My son's grown up and left home. But I remember what it was like being a parent and sort of having gazillions of questions and nobody to be able to ask them to. And also the thing that annoyed me is the wrong word. The thing that used to frustrate me a lot when I was an early parent was that there was it was too much drug orientation when you took a kiddie to the doctor. And I'd only just recently discovered homeopathy after my son was born. So I was very aware of that there are other ways of treating children that don't involve mainstream and dangerous drugs, and homeopathy is fabulous because it's gentle and really, really useful for children.
So what about behavioural issues? You mentioned that you've treated a lot of the indigo children, and you know, the indigo children do seem to come with a specific set of, you know, challenges or unique behavioural expressions in many cases. How can homeopathy help there?
Like we were talking earlier about the constitution of prescribing, it's the same idea when you're helping a child with a behaviour issue. Now, I don't think that, I mean, certain children are born with certain conditions, but there might be things that happen later. I tend to think of it as a behavioural issue as something that happens later on. It's not something that's directly there from birth. So it might be in response to maybe a parental separation or challenges at school or lots of other brothers and sisters, or maybe moving house a lot, or maybe the death of a relative might cause a behavioural issue. And one of my early clients that I treated, that I wrote about in my book, is a little boy that came to see me, and he was sleepless, but he also was incredibly angry about just about everything. And it transpired in the consultation that he had a younger brother that had been born deaf and blind, and I think his little brother couldn't talk either. And this little boy had died very early on, but my client's child, the little boy that came to see me, had just had this, and he was an indigo, had a knowing about this little baby brother of his, and knew when he needed to communicate with him, he'd just touch him, and he knew that his little brother would understand him. But the boy that I was treating, the behaviour issue was because of sleeplessness, because he'd got into his mind that he was probably going to die if he fell asleep. There was a lot of linking going on there. So what happened in the consultation, we got to the bottom of it, and I prescribed him a remedy, and he recovered, and it was just a few days later he fell asleep, and he fell asleep so deeply his grandmother thought that something dreadful had happened to him because he'd just never been so calm before. That was a really lovely case to treat.
What would you do? I mean, in some cases, you know, children, particularly, you know, some of the kids that are struggling with behaviour issues or sensory issues, they can't explain themselves very well. Could you treat the child through the parent?
Oh, yes, because, I mean, I don't treat children on their own unless they're over 18. And even then, I might get their parents to accompany them if they're sort of, you know, between 18 and 20. The parents are obviously going to be the spokesperson for the child. But you can tell an awful lot by observing a child. Anyway, you know, you can tell whether or not they're comfortable when they're sitting, or if they need to touch things, or they have to move around. Or, you know, there's, and any child, you can ask them what foods they like. I mean, these are things that are important for a homeopathic prescribing, is to determine whether or not the child likes the sweet taste or a salty taste or something completely different. I mean, carb the remedy. These are the children that eat mud out of the garden, you know, and just sort of when they're little will just sort of chew on really weird things. That's the remedy, carb, which is made from the centre of an oyster shell. So, you know, in a consultation, it's perfectly possible to find out about the child from the parent and also from observing the particular child themselves.
But does the child have to be there?
I much prefer to meet the child, yes. And even if I can't meet them face to face, I'd like to see them on Skype. I do think it's a little bit more tricky to never actually meet the person because it's a bit like being blindfolded. I'm a very visual person, so me personally do actually have to see the child. That's me.
So you couldn't treat a child by proxy?
I think that would be really hard. Maybe other people can, but I don't think I could.
That would be an interesting one. You know, give the pill to the parent and see if the child gets better.
Oh, I see. Yes. No. Well, that has happened, and you can do that. And especially when mothers are breastfeeding, you can give the remedy to the mum to help the kid eat. I've done that quite a few times, but I have met the child. But whether or not you could give a remedy to... Is the child still at home, the one we might be thinking of?
No, I'm just not thinking of any specific child. I'm just, you know, thinking.
Yes, I did do that once, and that was a person that contacted me by email, and I think I spoke to her on the phone once, and this was an indigo prescription again, and the particular boy in question refused to have any treatment. It was a very, very challenging case, and it was challenging is with a capital C, and I did send the remedy to the mother, and the mother had the remedy and the child didn't. So it's interesting you should mention that, but it doesn't happen very often, and it's normally situations where the child is very, very, very wounded, I think is the word to use, and he was very suspicious and you know, would be checking the emails and didn't like his mother to talk on the phone, so she had to ring me when he was at school. And yes, I did prescribe I gave the remedy to the mother to help the particular boy, and that took a couple of months, but we got there in the end.
Now, there's one remedy that I think is probably going to be in your, you know, 10, and that's ferrous fos. And I know many people who like to use this for the onsets of colds. However, I understand that ferrous fos is no longer available in England and that pharmacies are not allowed to sell. Why not?
Oh, I haven't heard that one. I mean, I use the two different homeopathic pharmacies I use is Helios and Ainsworth. I mean, I've got some ferrum fos. Blimey, if they've stopped selling it, I better hold on to it.
You certainly can't get it in the retail outlets.
Really? Oh, well, yes. The ones that you can buy in the high street are pretty limited. They're pretty limited. You used to be able to, it's very right, be able to buy ferrum fos a while back, but they have reduced the ones that are available nationally. But you would be able to, if you wanted it, be able to phone a homeopathic pharmacy and they'd be able to pop it in the post to you, as far as I'm aware.
So tell us about some more of the basic remedies that you would advocate parents keep on hand.
I think gelsemium is another good one. That's good for colds. It's also for things like stage fright and stuff. You know, so when a kid is taking an exam and stuff and they're getting really worked up about it, gelsemium is a good one. Another one I like is coffea. That's pretty good for parents that have overdone the caffeine in the day. So this is for the person that is in a state of acute excitement. So I was speaking to, I've got millions of brothers and sisters, but I was speaking to one of my sisters today that obviously accidentally overdosed on coffee. she was all in a flap and a flather about a set of keys had gone missing, and that would have been an excellent prescription. Coffee is for that. So that's either when you've drunk a load of cappuccino or coffee or what's that really strong coffee called? Not cappuccino, what are they called?
I'm not a coffee drinker, so I can't tell.
Yeah, there's one that they drink and it's really, really strong, but that's the one to have for that coffee if you've drunk too much coffee, or if you're excited about something, so excited you just can't calm down. I'd definitely consider coffee as a good one.
Any more?
What else do I like? Sulfur's nice. That's a good one for children that have got, they're very, very hot. They can be a bit sort of dirty. They don't mind getting sort of food all over the face and stuff. And they've got dreadful eczema or psoriasis or something. Sulfur's a great one to have at home. And yeah, so that's for sort of skin conditions and itchiness. You know, there's a lot of itchiness with sulfur.
What about, I've just completely gone blank then. Do you have a remedy for that?
I'll probably use Macanite because I'd be scared, yeah.
Yeah, my question was right there on the tip of my tongue and then it disappeared. What was I going to ask you? Well, it's very late at night here in England where I'm doing the show from this month, so you'll have to forgive me. Okay, so you also talk about emotional disturbances.
Mm.
Is there, you know, one that's better than any other, or does it really depend on the specific issue?
If I had to tell you, it would be Ignatia. I've talked about this remedy and written about it so much. This is the one I would take to the desert island with me. Ignatia is absolutely fabulous for emotional, what I call emotional upsetment. So somebody's emotionally upset about something, get Ignatia. Now, it sounds very similar to Echinacea, the herbal remedy for coughs and colds and things, but it's Ignatia, I-G-N-A-T-I-A. So that's the one where the boyfriend's left you, your husband's not turned up, somebody's forgotten your birthday, you've been let down by somebody, you're really, really upset about some awfulness that's happened. Ignatia is absolutely fabulous. It probably is the one that I prescribe the most for people when they first come and see me, because they're in a big emotional state about whatever's happening. And that is brilliant for calming things down and letting you still feel the emotion and still feel it, but not, you know, still be able to function.
Well, we're about to go to another break. Mary will tell us about the other remedies that she recommends for physical problems, mental problems, and spiritual difficulties when we return after this break. So do stay tuned. Well, it looks like we're a little ahead of ourselves. We're jumping ahead in time because the break is not going to start for at least another 15 seconds. So give us a quick one, Mary.
Mental problems, big anxiety things, you know, aconite, stick with that. But the other one is arsenicum. That's a very, very good one for when the person's pacing up and down and really, really worrying. So I'd keep some arsenicum knocking about.
Is that from arsenic?
It is, yes. Yes.
Wow. So, well, when we come back from the break, you can tell us if there are any side effects that we have to be aware of. We'll be back in a few moments. So once again, stay tuned.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shefali, the author of The Conscious Parent. Every parent I know wants to become more conscious and present in their relationship with their children. If you are a parent who wants to transform their relationship with their children, then you are going to want to come to this wonderful, transformational, intensive weekend I have put together in Long Beach, California on December 4th through the 6th. Hop onto my website at drshefali.com and find all the information to register there. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Mary English. Mary, you have suggested remedies for mental problems. Is that not a tricky area to get involved in?
It's mental problems as in the sense of mental stress. I'm not suggesting for one minute that anybody self-prescribes for a major mental condition. But stress is a rather well-suffered thing. There's plenty of people that suffer from it. So there is a chapter in the book about that. But it's also about mental health in general and how, unfortunately, people that have got a mental health problem are rather categorised, which at homeopathy they're not.
And what about spiritual difficulties? What kinds of spiritual difficulties could, you know, homeopathic remedies help with?
A lot of people have got questions about life, the universe and everything. I mean, don't forget I'm an astrologer as well as being a homeopath. So people don't come to me for normal everyday stuff. They tend to come for things that are a little bit more difficult to quantify. So people might come to me because they're not feeling that the thing I get asked the most is, am I on my path? I've just had a lady contact me today and that's the number one thing that she wants to discuss in her consultation. Am I on my path? And if I'm not on it, how can I be on it? But there's quite a number of remedies that help with that. Aurum is one, you know, the remedy made of gold. That's just fabulous for helping you connect to your higher self. And I wouldn't suggest just going out and buying it just there and then. You'd have to read up a little bit more about the remedy. But the remedies that are made from the valuable metals are very, very good at helping people on their spiritual path. And even the ones that there are remedies even made from things like helium and hydrogen. Because in the provings of those remedies, what came up so much for them was that the higher connection for the particular persons.
You actually do provings yourself, don't you?
I love doing provings. They're great, yeah.
So what are you working on proving at the moment?
I've just finished one from St Michael's Mount down in Cornwall. It's a National Trust property set in a small amount of rock just off the coast of the southern England. And there's a monastery that used to be on there. I think it was run by Benedictine nuns and monks. And St Michael's Mount is similar to Mont Saint-Michel, which is in France. And so I took a sample of rock from there, sent it to the pharmacy, had it made into a remedy. But the fabulous thing about that particular remedy was that the place itself, to get to it, you have to walk across a path, and twice a day the path is covered by the ebbing sea. So the sea comes in, goes out, and twice a day the path is completely obliterated by water because you can't walk across it. And so what happened when we gave those to the volunteers, they were trying to find their path, you know, path as in their higher self, because that, you know, the remedy made them made's the wrong word, but the remedy guided them towards connecting with their higher self, but they felt as if they were being blocked for whatever reason, because that's what came up in the remedy. So that was the last one that I did, but mine are a little bit sort of rather left of centre. They're not quite normal things. You know, most people sort of make remedies about sort of a bit more everyday stuff. I like to capture the essence of a place that people have visited for higher reasons. I mean, I haven't done Stonehenge. I wouldn't be able to do that, but I have done another stone circle that's in our end of the world. And stone circles were created for people to connect to their higher self.
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, and are you doing this based on intuition? Do you get a hunch about something and then decide to see if you can prove it?
Yes, definitely. Sometimes people do send me remedies and ask me if I'd have them made into remedies and then do approving of them. And one of those was somebody gave me a, would you believe this, gave me a little segment of the Great Wall of China. I mean, what's the chances of me coming across somebody wanted to give me that? He was a lecturer at one of the local colleges and he just cut me. He just randomly came back from China on a holiday with a little bit of rock. I don't know how he managed it. So we had that made into a remedy, and that one, everybody felt that they were being forced to do things that they didn't want to do, which was true, because when they built the wall, everybody was press-ganged into doing it. And then somebody else went holiday to Egypt and brought me back from sand from the Karnak Temple. That was fabulous. That was such an amazing remedy. That was all about, because that was a place of worship, but it was all about the temple. So they were having dreams of temples, and this was from a temple. And I just think, how could they do that? They didn't know what the remedy was. They've had a couple of tablets made from some sand from a temple, and then they're dreaming about temples. And then people say, oh, it's all placebo. Hello, you can't make people dream things.
Well, yeah. A little bit like my dog, you know. I mean, he doesn't know what a placebo is.
No, exactly.
So one of the things that I've always been curious about is, and once again, I'm having trouble thinking because that one's completely gone too. It'll come back in a few moments. Wow, this has never happened to me before. So you're not actually proving any remedies with me tonight, are you?
No, I'm not.
You haven't slipped me something.
But Mercury's retrograde at the moment, so everything's forgiven, and you're a Gemini, you're a double Gemini, and Mercury being retrograde, that's the sort of things that happen. Your mind goes blank, the telephone cuts out, you know, you can't get through to somebody. That's a Mercury retrograde thing.
There you go, proven on air. Do you have a remedy for Mercury retrograde?
I wish I did. I'd be a multimillionaire if I did.
I'm sure you would be. I remember watching a TV series in England many, many years ago called The Heretics, and it was about various scientists who had been labelled heretics but had much later been proven right. Linus Pauling, you know, with vitamin C was one of them. And this particular programme was about the French scientist Jacques Benveniste, who had stumbled across something and didn't believe it. I mean, it wasn't something he was looking for when he was doing some experiments, but became very clear to him, and that was about water having memory. He didn't believe it. He had many statisticians check his work over and over and over again, but the evidence seemed to be irrefutable. He published an article in Nature magazine. Or at least Nature magazine published an article about him, actually, and they completely tore him apart, and he got thrown out of the French scientists, whatever, Lycée or whatever it is, the official body, and died a broken man. But actually, I think today they've proven that water does have memory. And the point I want to make is when I heard that, for me, it explained how homeopathy works, because many people say, how can something that is diluted and diluted and diluted actually have any substance worth anything left in it? But Benveniste's work proved that it can.
It is. And don't get hung up just on dilution, because homeopathic remedies aren't just diluted. It isn't just dilution, you know, because that would imply that there's absolutely nothing left. At every stage of the dilution process, the vial that they're producing it in is shaken. You know, you can do it by hand, but it takes you ages, but they do it by machine now. But you're adding energy to your dilution process. So to say that homeopathic remedy is just diluted isn't taken to account the preparation of it. And now they've just released some scientific research about the dilution and succussion. It's called succussion when they shake the remedies as they make it. And the chappie that did the research did a very, very high potency remedy and took it into his lab. And he uses a special dye that only reacts if the thing that he's put the dye, you know, adds the dye to it, has got some energy in it. So if the thing was totally dead and nothing was going on, then this particular dye won't act. activate. Well, he used a high potency remedy. I think it was a 50M, and it's still active. So even though there's the high dilution process and the succussion associated with it, the remedy still has got something. And people sort of say to me, you know, well, how does homeopathy work when I'm giving, you know, you're just having such a small amount? But any illness that anybody suffers from, other than being hit by the bus, will have started to a small degree to begin with. You know, it's just the little ache and pain to start with. It's the small bit of a headache. And then before you know it, so many months later, you've got, you know, some awful disease or something horrible with you. Even your cold, that doesn't start suddenly. It's just a little bit. And then you get worse and worse and worse. And that's the same thing with the healing process. You need just a small amount of something, just enough to push you into a state of wellness.
See, now, that's the question I was going to ask you. It's just come back to me. Why can't we give people just a homeopathic dose of chemotherapy?
I think you can, actually. They've made some remedies out. All the high street drugs have been made into remedies. I know that. So, you know, things just like your headaches and headache tablets and stuff. And I gave somebody a long time ago a remedy that was made from a conventional medicine. Whether or not you could have a homeopathic remedy out of chemotherapy, you probably could. There's no reason you can make a homeopathic remedy out of near enough anything. But whether or not it'd be beneficial to a person and whether or not there'd been a proving done to it, that's a different matter altogether, because you could have the homeopathic chemotherapy, but would it help that particular person with whatever it's they're suffering from? I'd be more inclined for somebody that was, we're not allowed to treat cancer, but we can support the person. We're not treating the cancer. If I was supporting a person that has treatment already conventionally for cancer, I'd be looking, as we talked about earlier, the constitutional remedy, helping them in the person that they are. And I've treated a number of people that are getting conventional medicine for cancer, but I've treated them as the person. We mustn't forget there's a human being there. It's so important to treat the human.
Mary, we're almost out of time now. If there's one thing you would like to say to our listeners that you haven't had a chance to say yet, now's the time.
Do give homeopathy a go. You know, find a homeopathic practitioner, find a homeopathic remedy, find something easy and everyday that, you know, just get some arnica. Definitely give it a go.
Mary English, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you very much for having me, Sandy. It's been great.
Be good for us too. A Little at a Time, Homeopathy for You and Those You Love by Mary English is available on Amazon, whether you live in the UK or the USA. And you can find out more about Mary's books, her work as an astrologer and as a practicing homeopath at maryenglish.com. If you enjoyed this show, then do check out inspiredparenting.com, where this month you'll find an article by Mary, among many others. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for being with me today. I'll be back next week.